First John, in the 5th chapter. We could stay on it for hours, really, because it causes us to see the depths of the goodness of God and what He has done for us. Not only that, but it brings the reality to our heart because we have been born of God. In the 4th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 John, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." We've heard the expression that to overcome the world is to come up over the world, to where the world does not affect us, to where our situation does not affect us. But there's one power working within each one of our hearts that is controlling us, that is directing us, that is revealing Himself to us. And there's not a need this morning in any of our lives that God has already taken care of. He's already met that need in the death of His Son and in the resurrection of His Son. Now all we need to do is to partake of that. I think too many times we're prone to look at these infirmities, weaknesses, ever what you want to call them. We look at them and they bring us down to an earthly position rather than allowing us to ascend into the heavenlies where God has called us to dwell. Now, this is not unreal in our lives. We're not to be of this world. We're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And if we're going to be in the world, if we're going to overcome the world because we have been partakers of the life of God, then it must become a reality that He lifts us up over all of the situation to where we are more than conquerors in Him. And this is a reality, is a witness in our lives as we walk through each day. We have come this morning to remember the Lord, a time of witnessing to the reality, showing forth His death until He comes again. Right? Each one of our lives today, if we have been born of God, is giving a true witness. The same as every apostle, every believer of the New Testament was a witness unto the reality of God. A witness unto the reality not only of His Word, which was living, but to His life. It goes on down in this particular chapter here, and it tells us that we're going to live by His life. We're not going to live our lives. We're going to live by His life. And so we're going to have to get heavenly minded. And we're heavenly minded because we've been born of the Spirit of God. We've been born of God. And thus, the victory that overcomes is faith. And of course, we know what faith is, I'm sure. At least a definition of it. Faith is that relationship with God. It's not just a one-time believing, but it's a relationship with God. It brings us in to where God communes with us and we commune with God. All the working in each one of our lives begins with Christ. I'm not talking about now the beginning work. I'm talking about everything in your daily walk, every step that you take. It begins, if you're walking in faith, it begins with God. It does not begin with you. It does not originate with you. It originates in God. And so this is why he tells us, is faith is that which overcomes. Faith is that which in our response to him comes up over this and starts to see things as God sees. So that's the only way that faith does. If faith is not seeing more than our weaknesses in our situation, then it's not faith. It's only a belief. Faith sees God in every situation. And that's why it can overcome. That's why it comes up over and it walks with God. It depends upon what God is saying to us. Not depending on ourselves. Depending on Him. So we see that if we're going to be the witness that God has called us to be, if we're going to bear His name, that means that we're going to give a testimony of His nature. If you're going to bear His name, it isn't just because you speak the name of Jesus. It's because you are a living witness of His nature. Is that true? If I'm going to bear His name, and if I'm going to suffer persecution for that name, it's not going to be because I just talk about the name of Jesus. It's going to be because I live the life that He has given me. And that's why I believe that John can say here and give us the reality, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Where does the world start? Because in our lives this morning, as we look at it, we look out there. But the situation starts right in our individual lives. To overcome the situation that we find ourselves in is not to take and brush it aside, but to come up over it, to see the conquering power of God in it, to know His power in the midst of every weakness, then to know that glimpse of His wisdom in that situation. To know Him, that's what it amounts to. And so it's not looking out there at the world with all of the evils that are in it, but it's looking at our individual situations and where we're at this morning and our needs. Many of these needs that each one of us have may not be our fault, and then again, they may be our fault. But we must find out that from God. We must seek the Lord. But what I'm saying is, they're here in this world because of sin. It may not be your sin, but they're there because of sin. One of them is sickness. It's there because of sin. Sometimes, as I've already said, it may be our sin that has caused sickness, and we need to find that out. If not, and that many times is not the case, but it's there. Something happens. We need to know the Lord in it. And we need to be encouraged to go ahead and believe God. And don't be fanatical, because it's faith that overcomes. It's faith that comes over in these things. It's faith that does not consider oneself. It's faith that considers only God. Now, you take it in any of your situations here this morning, and each one of us have our own situation. Our own place that God has placed us to be a light. Glory. Now, you may not think that you're burning too bright this morning, but hallelujah, this take and let faith take a hold. Now, just don't look and say, well, I can't. Just say, I can. And I'm not going to consider anything that I am. I'm going to consider Him. And I'm encouraged every time. Every time I even start to talk about the words, I think of Abraham. when he was 100 years old and he looked at Sarah in the deadness of her womb, and he did not consider himself, even her he did not consider. He considered God. Hallelujah. That causes me to see this morning a little bit of what faith is. And it's not dependent on me. It's dependent on God. Right? So, I mean, I don't consider myself. A lot of times we consider what we can do. We consider ourselves. We consider our pain. We consider all of the thinking that seems to go and grip our minds. We reason the thing out and we say, well, this must not be the way that God wants me to go. But what do I do? God wants you to come up over that. Come up over that. You're going to go through it. Each one of us are going through it. And I think most of us have found out that God isn't going to allow us to escape from all of these little things that encounter us every day. We're going to have to go through them, right? And in the midst of them, in the furnace, third man, fourth man was. Glory. In your trial, it's going to be Jesus. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care whether you're looking for healing, whether you're looking for a way out. You're going to find in that trial, you're going to find that He's right there and you're going to know Him in it. He's going to give you the strength that's needed. He's going to encourage your heart. You know, we heard this morning, it isn't how you feel. We didn't come here this morning to praise God because we felt good. Did you feel good? Man, it took me a lot just to crank out of the seat there and get up. But I was going to determine I was going to get up. Hallelujah. Amen. And if we're going to know the overcoming life, we cannot consider ourselves. And this is not an unreal thing. This is not something that I'm making up. This is not mind over matter. But this is the reality of faith. Faith overcomes. Faith takes every situation and does not consider the situation, considers God. Are we doing that? You say that's not real. Hallelujah, it's not real. It's not real until you take and consider it. When Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, it was unreal. And it couldn't have been made real unless he moved believing what God said. Now the thing is, oftentimes what we do is say, I want to have faith. But don't tell me that God is not present with each one of us to give us faith. He is going to give you what you need for the place that you're at. We're out there in the wilderness. We go out to pick up our daily food. Well, today in this situation, we're not out there picking up manna, right? But does God still feed us? Have you been out this morning, or have you been out somewhere along the way and picked up your supply? Is it real to you? I mean, what God is saying? Because if God doesn't speak to you in the situation, then you need to seek His face that He can speak to you for the situation that you find yourself today. No sense in thinking about tomorrow. At least not right now. And it's no sense in thinking about yesterday. Because I don't believe that any one of us can do anything about yesterday. Got failures? Lay them aside. If you need to ask God's forgiveness, ask His forgiveness. But beloved, you can't do anything about what's behind you. And you don't have any control on tomorrow. And really, it's today that you want to know Him. That's the reality, right? I want to know Him today. You say, well, everything's fine today. We've set it aside. We're here in church. We've come together as God's people. Our situations do not change just because we come together. Our mental attitudes do not change unless we take and behold Him. Unless we seek His face, unless he speaks His word to us. And I find that the majority of time, there are other times that He intervenes in different ways, but I would say the majority of time is that still, small knowing. The Holy Spirit moving in our lives, that knowing that brings us to a place of faith, to know that He knows. Does that mean anything to us, to know that He knows? That's so simple that why even consider it? Beloved, any one of you that can truly say that you know that He knows, you already have the answer. It's yours. He's given it to you. Because if you pray and you know He hears, you know you have the answer. Glory. If you know He hears, and if He conveys to you that He knows, beloved, you can just lay it aside, forget it. It's accomplished. To know that He knows. And that's what we need. That's part of the knowing that we need in this walk of faith, this victory. This victory that each one of us need to move in through every day and through every week. Then we will have a rejoicing. More rejoicing than we had this morning. That's going to be hard to beat. Amen? You think you can beat it next week? I'm not talking about just taking and striving to do it in our own strength, but I'm saying because we have the joy of the Lord in our souls. We have overcome. We have gone through the week. We may have stumbled. Some of us, we get down when we stumble, and that keeps us down too long. Beloved, when you stumble, get up. If somebody's chasing you and you stumble, what do? Lay there and let them jump on you? No, brother, you move up and you move on towards the goal. I like that illustration that I think Brother Barry brought here a few weeks ago with the man that came from Africa to run in the Olympics. And he just kept running. Didn't make a difference what condition he was. He had fallen down. He was bleeding. He was dragging one leg and helping along. And he was hours late coming across the finish line. But brother, he didn't go there. And you're not here to begin. You're here to finish. And beloved, I think it's our obligation to each other to see that we finish. Glory. Now, you may not like that responsibility laid on you, but I believe that it's our responsibility to encourage, to exhort, strongly encourage that we finish this race. Those that finish, there's a crown, an overcomer's crown is attached to faith, and faith attaches you to Jesus Christ. And it brings you into the oneness. Because all of what we're talking about is in our overcoming life is that which expresses the degree of oneness that we are with the Lord. And that's why He's called you. That's why He's baptized you with the Spirit into the very body of Christ to make us one. And if we have been born of God, then we're going to overcome. And the overcoming is dependent on our oneness with God. It's dependent on faith. Amen. But it's dependent on our oneness with God, and faith brings us in that oneness. It starts to allow us to experience that oneness. It's not your strength. How many of you think it's your strength? Oh, I know you would come to the conclusion that I came to years ago, that I can do nothing. But get down to the place that you don't have the strength to even lift your head, and then say, Lord, it's your strength. And start to see what He does. Glory. Now maybe we haven't come to that place. Maybe I'm talking over some of our heads. But others, I know that you're experiencing some of these things. And we need to encourage one another with these things that God is doing in our lives. We need encourage to move on towards the mark. To encourage each other to move. It's not the earthly things that are going to encourage us. There's only one thing that's going to encourage us, and that is faith. That means in my communion with God, in my relationship with God, because as I wait before the Lord, I can see nothing other than faith being a relationship. Do you? In the Christian's life, a walk of faith, a walk in a relationship, is that not the same thing? Is it all not my response to God, your response to God? If we have anything less, then we only have religion. May the Lord help us beloved, that we don't identify with religion. Now, when I'm saying that, identify with what religion is doing. Even think in our own minds this morning that we have a religion. We do not have a religion. We have a life. He has come to give us life, not a religion. The perversion is that man has entered on in to do something for God. That's religion. You just think about it a minute. That's religion. When man does something for God. Cain had a religion. He tried to bring his own sacrifice. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. That you might have abundant life. We have all that the Father has at our disposal. There's not one good thing that He withholds from us. Now, it all sounds good, doesn't it? There's only one thing that unlocks the door to God's treasures, and that's faith. That means that all of you must become active in what God has said to you. Sometimes I've had to come to the place that I didn't hear anything. I didn't sense anything. And cry out to God, oh God, don't pass me by. Stimulate, stir me, anything, Lord. You know, sometimes I think we just sit down and wait and say, well, Lord, doesn't make any difference. I don't feel anything today. You want to be satisfied there? You cannot read the Psalms and see men like David cry out to the Lord and see what He says. And we can't sit still in the relationship that we have and just kind of ease through each day. We've got to say, Lord, I'm in Your presence. I'm boldly standing in Your presence before the throne of grace. And You have given me grace, ability, unmerited favor for today. That's got to become real to us. It's real in the Word. It's the only way. But if we sit down and we're not aggressive, again, bringing the word I brought a few weeks ago, we're not on the offensive. We have not moved on into the presence of God. We just kind of ease along through each day. We're not going to know the overcoming life. Some of us do not believe, I guess, that Jesus Christ and what He did when He was resurrected from the grave, it's hard for us to comprehend that He has led us into the presence of God and that we can live there 24 hours a day. It's hard for us to comprehend. But that's exactly what He did. If you rose in Him, then, beloved, we're seated this morning in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We're walking right down here. We're not fanatics. We haven't gone off on some side issues about little things here and there. Right in the center of where God wants each one of us. He knows just what each one of us needs. He knows how to feed us. But there's one thing that faith does. It makes us aggressive. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about being aggressive in an obnoxious way. I'm talking about being aggressive with humility in my heart. Knowing, and humility is utter trust in Him. It's not being to the place of boldness that I just belligerently barge in to the presence of God. I live in the presence of God. You live in the presence of God. Tell me that you don't. You're a child. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you should be living in His presence. You may not be sensing it. You may not be appropriating it. But beloved, His presence is there. I don't feel it. I don't care whether you feel it or not. I don't feel it either. Many times. Then again, once in a while, He allows me to feel it. Glory. If you felt it all the time, it'd kill you. You know, it's true. You get into the presence of God and you start to feel the presence of God. You couldn't stand that for long. This old body can't take it. But he's there. He's there to speak to our hearts. He's there to write his word in our minds and in our hearts. He's there to make this life a reality right here, the heavenly life, a reality right here in our daily walk. I'm saying all these things, trusting that the Spirit of God is speaking to every one of us in our own particular situation. Because the principles that we're talking about this morning is the reality of life, and it touches every one of us in the place that we're at. Because it brings us to where we are a witness of Him. Not only is He working through us, not only is His Word flowing through us, as He directs now, not as you think you want to do. Because some of us get on the bandwagon if we want to witness to everybody. We better let the Holy Spirit lead us. It'll do a lot more. In fact, it's the only thing that does anything is when you take and sow a seed that has been germinated. The only way it can be germinated if it's coming from God. That's the only thing that has life in it. And so we need Him every moment. We don't need to get up here and be a witness for God. We need to be a witness unto God and what He has done, what He is doing. And we need, beloved, to speak His Word, even with one another. We need to speak the Word of God when we come together. To speak the things of God. It may not be just every word. It may not be the King James, you know, and thou shalt do this and thou shalt do this and I'm going to tell you how to run your life. That isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fellowship in the family of God, in the household of God. Speaking the Word. The only one way you can speak the Word, if you're in touch with the giver of the Word. We can see it in the lives of different ones. I'm not going through all of these this morning, but you can look through the Apostle Paul, one that's very familiar to us because of the epistles. You can look through John here, and you can see that these men in their lives, in their ministry, ministering to others now, what I'm talking about, spoke His Word. They spoke His Word because they were in union with Him. That's the only way you can speak it. It's not the words that you want to say. It's the words that He's going to give you to say. And then as you look on down through this overcoming life and this oneness that God has for us, it's a question, as Jesus said, when the Father works, I work. We're going to do His work. We're here. We are His workmanship. And we're going to do His work. That's what Jesus did. He came and spoke the Word. And He said that they were spirit and they were life. And then He said that when the Father works, I work. And then He said, I have given them your name. We're going to bear His name. We're going to bear His nature because this walk of faith, this overcoming life, is a reality. It's something that we have stopped talking about. We've entered in. We're rejoicing in it. We're encouraging others in it. But we're not just talking about it. Because we are a living witness. Fruit coming out of our lives because we're abiding. Abiding because of faith. Abiding because He's able to keep us. Gloria, you ever thought of that? Paul said, what I've committed unto Him, hallelujah, I've given it to Him. I'm abiding. I'm drawing from the life. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Now, He can't keep if you're not committed. Don't think that God's just going to keep us and we can do what we want to. It has to be the abiding. It has to be commitment. You know, it's that aspect that God made you with a choice. And you must even be stimulated by God to have the desire to give yourself to Him, right? None of us came by ourselves. It was the goodness of God that led every one of us to the pathway of repentance. It was still His goodness and His love, beloved. And that's why we can shout this morning and praise His name and give Him thanks. Because it was His love that plunged us into this new life. You say, boy, it's not easy, is it? God never promised it'd be easy. And if it was easy, you wouldn't want it. He said, very few there are that find it. Are some of you discouraged because you don't see great numbers? Better get your eyes off the numbers and get your eyes on Jesus again. Jesus came down to the cross and all forsake. You may come down to ever what the trial is in your life. And everybody forsakes you. Have you ever come to that place? Nobody's around. Nobody's there to encourage you. You're going to give up. Nobody loves me. Come on. It's His love. He loves me. Right? But, brother, we're still in this world and we're affected by each other. If you're not affected by God first, you're definitely affected by others wrongly. If we quit worrying and get the philosophy of the world and say that we're affected, we should be the effect. Glory! Come on, shout! We should be affecting. We should be the salt. Amen? But we're always complaining that everybody else is affecting me. And I have no doubt that these are true when we're down to that low head. But brother, come on up to the mountain. Come on up to the mountain and just walk with Abraham, with God. Just don't go down there in the valley where it looks good in the world with all of their philosophies. And it can start to reach into our lives. Hallelujah. Glory. Maybe we should say that when we do something like that. We ought to say, God, I'm sorry. Amen. That ought to be the thing that comes out. There ought to be that holy reverence in our lives. Amen. We ought to be tender like a little child. Glory. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. To walk in this place, which is up over, is a place to where we can feel the need in other people's lives and we can intercede as Abraham did. As he walks with God and we walk with God. As we know His presence, we can say, Father, if there be 10 there in Sodom, will You save it? Now just follow what I'm trying to say, because I'm looking for that place of intervening. Our intervention in God's workmanship in our lives, in the situation around us. Travail for souls. Intercessory prayer to see the situations in people's lives moved out of the way and the power of God affected. How do you think they come? Just accidentally? They come because we are co-laborers with Him. Is that true? We enter in. We have to get close enough to God in this walk of faith to where God can take and burden our hearts And we can be that which is willing to lay down our lives that others can live. Some of us are just trying to exist ourselves. But that doesn't mean that God is going to stop and just let you continue on. No, He's going to bring every one of us to a place that you can be one that lays down your life for others. And you'll come to that place that you actually tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm no longer myself. I'm a living sacrifice. Here I am." Now, that may not be real to you this morning, and then again it may be. I'm not saying one way or another, but it will become a reality somewhere along the line in your relationship with God, to where you can intercede, where you can pray. Too often we see the situation and we try to affect it rather than seeing how God wants it affected. Because it takes a little longer when we come to the Lord. But the only way that's going to last, if anything is done, the only thing that's going to last is the things that God does. And so if I see situations, I see lies, and I have a burden for those, and I've got to know the working of God, right? I've got to be one that stands before God for that situation or that person. They won't listen to me. I don't care whether they don't listen or not. I'm not considering them anyway. No, you're being fanatical. No, I'm not. The thing is, if I've been before God and God says, "Pray for that person," then I need to pray. I don't care what they're doing, what they're saying. I don't care how vile they are. Somebody prayed for me one day and I was vile. They didn't consider me. Right? Did they consider you? No, they considered God. And this is the overcoming life, overcoming this world, being a true witness to Him. And then as we come around the table, a time of remembrance. Yes, a time of rejoicing. A time of thanksgiving. It is. Because all of these other things are working in our lives. We're part of the household. Glory. Are you a visitor this morning? Or part of the household? Sometimes I think we act like visitors. We come in and we don't want to bear up under the responsibility. I know every time that our family used to gather around the table, there was one thing that had to be right, and there could be no down in the mouth. Everybody had to be pleasant. No exceptions. Never had a powder at my house. And don't allow any pouting now. Right? Okay, what's that mean in the household of God? Everybody acted. Do you have a right this morning to come downcast? We're at the table of the Lord. We're here to remember Him. Lord, everybody free? Anybody in bondage? Well, pray for you, get you out of it right quick. Shouldn't be in bondage. Everybody's at liberty in the Lord. And we've come to the table of the Lord to remember Him, to rejoice. Yes, tomorrow is going to be the way it is. God's going to take care of those things and He's going to be with us. Praise God, I'm convinced of this, that tomorrow I'll know Him a little more than I know Him today. He's faithful. He's faithful. And you must have that desire. Because that's what love does. And He shed His love in your hearts. And there should be one cry that comes from your heart at any time, day or night, and even this morning, that I may know him. Glory. All right. Let me just say two or three more words, then I'm going to sit down. We'll remember the Lord. Get your eyes off of yourself. It's the first thing. Simple. You've heard these things before. Don't consider. I don't care how lofty your thoughts are, don't consider them. Consider one thing. What God has said to you. Consider that. Don't consider yourself. Then don't consider anybody else. Now, understand what I'm saying. Don't consider what they can do or what they don't do. Consider what God will do. Glory? But I don't see anything. Abraham didn't see anything for 25 years. Some of us get discouraged a little bit on down the line, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month. And I say this to encourage you. This is not to belittle the matter because it's real. But beloved, God is more real than this here. When all of this has passed away, there's one thing that's going to last. And that is what God has done in your life. You can say, well, how long is it going to take? I don't know. I'm not God. How long is it going to take for my situation? I don't know. If that's all you want is just God to get you out of that situation, then you don't want to know him. Abraham waited 25 years to hold the promise. Maybe God's getting you to a place that you can't do anything, and it has to be him. Glory? Third thing, don't consider anybody else and what God is doing. Now, when it means to consider and to serve, that's something else. But when it looks to faith, don't consider what the other person is or what they're doing. Consider God in what he has said. And then we will be what God wants us to be. And we'll move in the union that God has called us to. One life in union with Christ in the power and anointing of the Spirit. Glory.